You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's 9 a.m. on this warm Monday morning in Chicago, and you've chosen to listen to Catholic Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for making that choice. We've got some exciting information and news about good things happening within the Archdiocese. And the first feature this morning is all engineered by the saint of the day, St. Alphonsus Liguori, because you'll see what the connections are. Let me tell you that every Friday during August, St. Michael Parish in Chicago hosts the St. Michael Film Festival, an event that promotes the culture of life through film. In the first half hour of this program, we're going to talk with some of the people responsible for the festival and for the films themselves. I'd like to welcome to the program Dr. Joseph Fitzpatrick, who is the Associate Director of the St. Michael Film Festival. A little bit later, we're going to be talking to Jason Jones, who's producer of a film called The Stoning of Soraya, also was producer of the film Bella that many of you may be familiar with. And we'll also be talking with Dr. Marty Waugh, federal medical advisor, and connected with another one of the films that we're going to be talking about today called, which one?
The Fall.
All right, so let's talk with Dr. Joe. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a doctor of?
A doctor of engineering.
Engineering.
I have 3 degrees in different engineering fields. And
you're running a film festival.
Well, this is what you do when you retire. You know, the famous story about what's guy in Los Angeles there, I guess he was found at about 11,000 feet in the flight path of LAX, and he was tied to balloons to his lawn chair, and they brought him down. They said, well, what were you doing? He said, well, you just can't sit around. So I don't want to sit around. I want to do things for the church and the faith and so on.
So after many years of teaching at Northwestern University, you're now gathering people on the lawn at St. Michael's Parish in Chicago.
That's right, Gracia. And this is the second year. So this is the second year of the festival. And it's drawing the people from, the area in the Gold Coast to Cabrini Green. And we talk about life issues and human dignity. It's a civic engagement event. It's a film series. But the kickoff event is this Friday. And that's why we want to have the heads up today to let everyone know that Mother Dolores Hart is arriving here in Chicago. She's only made 5 trips from the abbey that she dwells at in Connecticut. So, in the last 50 years, so her history is quite noble.
I'm acquainted with her, but I would bet a lot of our listeners may not remember who she is. Tell us about Dolores Hart.
Well, Dolores was, I think it was back in 1960, roughly in the 60s. Let me get my notes here. I got.
She was a movie actress.
Well, she was a movie actress of great note, she was played opposite Alvis, and she gave him his first kiss on film, and she had about 5 or I think 10 noted films. But in 1960, she did a film Lisa, which was about a woman taken into experimentation by the Nazis. This show so much changed her that at age 24, she left Hollywood and went to the Benedictine Prioress, or the Benedictine Abbey in Connecticut. And she's still there. And she's developed a film training program, a theater program. She does congressional hearings. She's met with the Apostolic Nuncio, who just passed away. But she also worked with people with neurological disorders, and she watches movies.
So
she
here's a woman who gave Elvis his first movie kiss at age 24, gives up a thriving film career to enter the convent, and has only left that convent for five times during these 40 or so years.
Right.
And one of the fifth time will be coming here to Chicago to your film festival.
To our film festival. And she was born in Chicago, so this is a connection here. This is really, she grew up and she went to school on the northwest side at St. Gregory's.
She did.
She's a convert.
She went to school at St. Gregory's.
Yes.
My very first job right out of grad school was teaching at St. Gregory High School.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great connection.
Oh man. I'm coming in from out of town on Friday. Maybe I can get to meet her Friday evening. That would be fabulous.
This would be fabulous.
All right. Now, tell me, why film? Why film? You're talking about promoting the culture of life. There are lots of ways of doing it. Why through film?
John Paul II in his, or I think actually in Vatican II, the instruments of social communication was intermirificia. I'm not sure whether I'm pronouncing it right, but the importance of the media getting to the people is, getting to the right brain, as it were, to connect where we make our decisions, because we are a very rational society. I'm an engineer, of course, and I see the world through that lens, but the power of film to both teach and to change people's opinions is really something dramatic for the pro-life movement, for all social advancement, and this is why we're using this vehicle.
Well, you're a wonderful model, I think, because as a left brain person, I say that in quotes, because as you said, you are an engineer, and we talk metaphorically about, you know, people involved in the sciences, intellectual people using the left side of the brain, and that more artistic, creative people are right-brained people. You're someone who's able to use both lobes, left and right, and you see the value of both, and you see the power that art has to touch the heart and therefore also the mind.
That's so true, and it's a great pleasure because I have a family. I have six children, and I've seen how each of them responds to the right brain more than my spiritual director says, stop preaching to your kids so much. You're too professorial.
I mentioned at the top of the program a connection with the saint of the day, Saint Alphonsus Liguori. What is that connection?
Well, the Saint Michael Fest is at Saint Michael's in Old Town. And that church was run by the Redemptorists. I think it was one of the early churches built after the Chicago Fire. And it had its 100th anniversary last year. And Father Richard Thibodeau, the pastor, is a Redemptorist, which is the order founded by St. Alphonsus Liguori, who is our patron, our feast of the day. And so it's no accident that I'm here in the studio on this day to proclaim the St. Michael Film Fest.
So you didn't specifically pick this day for that reason.
No, I think St. Alphonsus had
something. But St. Alphonsus must have. We had Bishop Jacobowski here last Friday, and he said, he gave a wonderful quote, a coincidence is a minor miracle for which God chose to be anonymous. So this is one of those coincidences that was really anonymously engineered by the good Lord.
Yes, it was, and that was a great show too, Gratz.
Thank you. So in a moment, we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking to two other guests who will be with us by phone, who have produced two of the films that will be shown this week during these coming Fridays at St. Alphonsus Parish. So stay with us, and you'll hear about these two exciting and inspirational films. A couple of brief messages, and we'll be right back.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. and I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion Faith, 9:11 in the morning. You're listening to Relevant Radio, and this is the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, talking with Dr. Joseph Fitzpatrick, Associate Director of the St. Michael Film Festival, held every Friday night at St. Michael Parish in Chicago. Kickoff is this Friday, August the 5th, with nationally and internationally known former actress Dolores Hart, who is now Mother Dolores, prioress of her Benedictine Abbey, has been a sister for about almost 50 years, having left her Hollywood career, having given Elvis his first movie kiss. In addition to that, on Monday, August the 8th, Sister Dolores will be appearing at St. John Cantius Church, and that's a special evening for people involved in the arts. There'll be a presentation of Sister Calling My Name. It's a drama about a young woman hearing a vocational call. And it'll be an opportunity for people to dialogue with Mother Dolores about the arts and theater and vocation and faith and whatever else might be on their mind. So we encourage you to pursue both of these events. I'd like to welcome to the program right now Jason Jones, producer of a very powerful film called The Stoning of Soraya M., also producer of the film that I'm sure many of you have seen, Bella. Welcome to the program, Jason.
Thank you for having me on.
Delighted. I've only seen the trailer for Stoning of Soraya, but it just touched me deeply, and I'm very, very eager to see the movie. Tell us about your involvement with the film. How did you become aware of the story, and how did you decide to pursue it and make the movie about it?
Well, I work with Steve McAvity, who's the producer of all my favorite movies, Braveheart, The Passion of the Christ, When We Were Soldiers, and Steve really wanted to do this film and asked if I would like to participate, and I read the book that was written by the French journalist that led to the film, and it really inspired me and moved me. My main involvement in film is to, and I think one of the most effective ways, promote human dignity through art. And so this film, to me, did everything that I want to do in film, which was elevate the dignity of the human person and bring attention to, you know, a problem that still exists in the world. Women are stoned today in Iran and across, you know, North Africa every day. And we don't think about this, and this movie really helped bring attention to the issue.
You know, you say you want to promote human dignity through film and art. You know, I subscribe to cable television, and whenever I'm flipping channels, I see very little that does that. You must feel like a voice crying out in the desert sometimes.
Yeah, I think that me and my business partners have a monopoly on that now, right? We don't have a lot of competition, and sometimes we feel like it's a tug of war, and there's just a few of us on one side and a whole an army on the other side. But, of course, we're on God's side, so in the end, it's his victory, and it's just a real privilege. You know, today I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, and we're getting ready to go, and we have meetings with Senate and House leaders. We're with one of our partner groups. I also work nonprofit. We're presenting evidence of genocide in the Nuba Mountains. And we had a meeting this morning, a breakfast meeting, and all I kept thinking about was, how do we get this attention, you know, how do we bring attention to what's happening in the Nuba Mountains to the world? And so all these film ideas are coming to me because, you know, Barbara Nicolosi, the founder of Act One, says that the movie theater is the church, is the church of the masses. And unfortunately, that's true, so we need to be there and share the truth as we've come to know it through the Catholic Church on the beauty and dignity of the human person, the transcendent moral order, all the things that we traditionally see Hollywood tearing down.
Now, do you get Hollywood-type people to support you in this kind of thing, or do you need to raise your own funds and sort of go against the flow when you do a film like The Stoning of Soraya?
Well, we definitely have to raise our own funds. I mean, that's most of my job as a producer is begging for money with my tin can all over the world. And but you'd be surprised at how many people in the industry are Christians, how many faithful Catholics there are. In fact, I go to daily mass, and in my little parish, a woman tapped me on the shoulder recently and said, "You know, that gentleman over there is one of the heads of, you know, is a big shot over at Disney, and I see him with wife and four kids every day at mass." I didn't know that.
Wow.
You'd be surprised how many people are faithful Christians or devout Catholics, but they just don't feel that they can do this. They can, but they've been taught that that industry, they have to check their. But it's not just in Hollywood, right? How people in whatever their career think that they have to check their faith at the door.
Amen. Yeah. Has the success of Bella made it easier to produce films of your genre?
I think it would have made it easier, you know, when except for in September 2008, things changed, and it made it a lot more difficult for filmmakers to raise money for films. So we've spent most of the time since Bella raising money for just a few projects, but I'm excited to say that the next big film for Metanoia Films is in production as we speak in Mexico, and it's a big budget film with some A-list actors, and of course, starring Eduardo Verástegui. And it's called Little Boy, and that film, I think it's going to be a huge smash hit, which we want. But the message of Little Boy is beautiful.
Well, tell us a little bit about The Stoning of Soraya. The title obviously gives us some clue as to what the film's going to be about, but fill in some of the details for us.
Well, it's a true story of a woman in Iran after the revolution, and she was framed by her husband for adultery so he could have her stoned to death and marry a younger girl. It's a true story. A French journalist was traveling through Iran when the aunt of this woman shared the story with her. The aunt is played by Shireh Ashtalou, the great Iranian actress. And it's just a very powerful film. I say that it's maybe even more difficult to watch for some people than The Passion of the Christ, because it is so powerful. But I'm so proud of that film and the director and the producer, the executive producer, Steve, for having the courage to do it. I mean, their lives have been threatened, especially all the Iranians involved in the project. They could never go back to Iran to visit their family again.
Yeah, I noticed on the IMDb website that the author of the film was listed as anonymous.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people involved in the project have kept private because it's a real danger. You know, it's a real danger.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to share on the radio some shady things that have happened around the project already. But you know, the government of Iran actually responded to the film when it came out and said that they're going to reassess the policy of stone. And, you know, the U.N. couldn't get Iran to do that. The State Department couldn't get Iran to do that. But this a few filmmakers working in Hollywood, California, were able to get that regime to make some movement on the issue of stoning, even if it was small.
Grace will have its way. Dr. Joe, why did you pick this film?
Well, there was a long vetting process, and we know Jason and his work, and this was a lot of dialogue on this, and I think Jason said it well, that it seems to be a difficult film to watch, but it does have parallels to the Passion of the Christ, and almost like it, you should see the Passion first or see it afterwards, and it's so much parallels the roles of suffering, redemption, and then resurrection, which is really part of the themes of our fest.
Well, Jason, you mentioned being proud of the director. I'm very proud of you. You sound like a young man. Are you a young guy?
I'm not so young. I'm 39. But you know,
oh, that's young. That's
okay,
very young.
I'll take it.
So God bless you for what you're doing. God bless you for your faith and for living it out in this powerful way that, as you indicated, really touches the lives of people, changes the world in the way governments can't, but God's grace through the power of art and film can do it. So thank you. We need to go to a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about another powerful film called The Fall that will be shown at the St. Michael Film Festival. Don't go away. We'll be back very shortly.
And I want to tell Jason, we have Mass at St.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith, 9:23 in the morning. Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for being with us on this feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori, the founder of the Redemptress, who, by divine coincidence, are the sponsors of St. Michael's Parish, which is the sponsor of a wonderful film festival entering its second year. Mark your calendars for every Friday in the month of August. This Friday, August the 5th, Dolores Hart, who gave Elvis his first movie kiss, who is now Mother Dolores, Benedictine sister, will be appearing. They'll be showing clips from all her movies, from her film oeuvre, and she'll also be talking with the audience. It'll be a wonderful opportunity. Friday, August the 12th, the film called The Fall. Friday, August 19th, The Stoning of Soraya. Friday, August 26th, The Human Experience. We're going to be talking now with a man involved with a movie called The Fall, about a stuntman who faces who faces complete despair, intersects with six mythical heroes in an epic tale of redemption. Can't wait to hear more about it from Dr. Martin Waugh. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
What kind of doctor are you, Marty?
Well, I started with osteopathic physician and surgeon trained at OSU. Then the Army got a hold of me here in Washington, D.C. at Walter Reed. Then I went up to Yale for 8 years learning psychiatry and neuropsychiatry, which is functional brain scans, and doing a substance abuse fellowship. And the most fruitful interaction I had with patients were detoxing IV heroin users.
Wow.
Because it really brought the intersection of needing medical help and spiritual help, both simultaneously, to help them stay clean.
So would it be fair to say that you're also a left brain kind of guy like Dr. Joe here?
I would say I'm ambidextrous on that. I think this the right side of the brain, as we see on functional brain scans, lights up when we sing, when we pray. And that was a very important component of any treatment that I gave. If I could help them get to a place of cleanness with God through their application of the death and resurrection of Jesus, if they were Catholic, rush them right to the reconciliation sacrament. If they were Protestant, just use, you know, that death to take out all their sins, and the resurrection to once again be found in favor with God, to be clean with God. Like Peter says, make the statement of a clean conscience towards God through faith.
Oh, praise God. I'm ready to jump out of my seat here just to, to hear someone speak so powerfully and so clearly about his faith. It's really edifying, so thank you.
I've seen it save lives because these people were committing a form of suicide. IV heroin use, you're running a risk of overdose, accidental suicide. Sometimes people just didn't care to live. And that's what this movie, The Fall, deals about. The one of the main characters has had a fall, and he feels like he has nothing left to offer. And suicidal thoughts come to so many. It's such a sensitive topic that we're going to talk about the two main messages that I've given throughout my clinical history to those contemplating committing suicide. I say, this is like putting a hand grenade in anybody who ever loved you, pulling the pin and walking away.
Amen.
They will have an explosion in their hearts. It will be devastating. It can give them a lifetime of guilt. It can make them, too, want to die. And when they see above and beyond their own immediate desire to get off this earth, when they see that it would do that to all their loved ones, most of them have the sense to turn around. Those who can't turn around at that point need hospitalization until they can have other options. So that's what's said to those contemplating suicide. And in Catholic theology, it's a mortal sin. It's killing. Thou shalt not kill. But that's the bad news. And the good news is very much that, the gospel, that Jesus came to heal and forgive and even heal killing.
And yeah, to think that even for someone on the precipice of, wanting to end their life, that there is good news, there is the opportunity to rediscover joy in their life. Tell us, how did you come to be involved with the making of this film?
Well, I was not involved in the making of the film. I'm involved in, since it's such a sensitive topic and it will be shown to addicts and Catholics and a lot of different people, I was asked, since I have the psychiatry specialty, to help lead the discussion.
Just to
steer it in the right directions. You don't want people bearing their hearts and feeling exposed and feeling activated or at danger. It's such a sensitive topic. So I was asked to come out to Chicago and lead the discussion on this. And after the movie, and the good news about a very hopeful part about suicide is kind of illustrated on the cross, where the thief who had nothing left to give, not another hour left, not a good deed to do, all he needed was repentance. He said, we have done that which caused to have our life be taken away, and then the faith. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? and Jesus' wonderful words, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
Wouldn't it be great to know how many people have walked into a movie theater depressed and possibly suicidal,
yes,
and walked out filled with hope and rejuvenated and willing to keep walking their walk and yes, living their life.
Suicide is never God's will. It's the ambition of the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says that I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And so when people think that their family would be better off if they kill themselves or they just, you know, have to do it, we give them the inoculation of how horrible it really is. You're playing with your very immortal soul.
Amen. And, we need to go to a break, Marty, but we want to thank you for your time on the program, and we want to tell our listeners some additional information. 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
On each of the Fridays in August.
It opens then, and I believe the movie starts at 7:30. And
right, and all the other
discussion
nights as well. August the 12th, August, yes, the 19th, August the 26th. And Joe, give us a phone number if people want more information about the festival.
The phone number at St. Mike's is 312-642-2498.
642-2498, 312 area code, and it's free. So make sure you put this on your calendar, Uplifting Evenings, movies, and wonderful conversation and commentary by noted experts from around the country. Joe, we thank you very much for this visionary effort, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking with some young people involved in a brand new ministry within the Archdiocese. We'll be with you in just a moment.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities' HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
You're invited to join teens and young adults from throughout the Chicago area and the Midwest for a wonderful night of music, fun, and worship under the stars.
Come to World Youth Day Chicago Style, a gathering of young people that coincides with the concluding Mass at World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain.
The festivities begin Saturday evening, August the 20th, at the Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines. Watch Pope Benedict celebrate Mass in Madrid and take part in our own worship services. There will be food and entertainment throughout the entire night.
Go to www.youthministry-chicago.org for details and to register. That's www.youthministry-chicago.org.
You can also get updates on Facebook at keyword World Youth Day Chicago.
Get some rest, and we'll see you August 20th for an all-nighter under the stars.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And thank you for staying with us and listening to Catholic Radio. It's a privilege to have this opportunity to tell you about the good news of the good works being done within the Archdiocese of Chicago. And of course, none of that would be possible without all of you out there who go to your Masses every Sunday, some of you go every day, and who support the efforts of the Archdiocese. And don't ever think that it doesn't make a difference, because it does. You know, we just heard in the first half of the program about people changing the world through something like a movie. And those movies wouldn't have been possible without the generosity of a lot of folks who decided to go against the grain and contributed to something very countercultural for the Hollywood world, and made a movie like Bella, made a movie like The Stoning of Soraya. And to think that the Iranian government all of a sudden started reconsidering stoning of women simply because a movie was made, not because a government and its Secretary of State intervened, but because a movie was made. And that movie was made because people believed. So I've got a young man here who is also a believer and who has helped initiate a new ministerial effort within the Archdiocese. I want to welcome Devin Jones, who is a youth minister and also a primary host on one of the Archdiocesan radio programs called God's Praises Tell. Welcome, Devin.
Good morning. How are you?
Where are you, youth minister?
Corpus Christi Parish.
How long you been there?
Since May 1st, actually. So I just started.
Brand new
ago.
Youth minister.
Yes.
And where'd you go to school?
High school or college?
Both.
I went to St. Lawrence High School, and for college, I was at St. Xavier for a little while, and I'm at Loyola finishing philosophy.
So you're a product of Catholic education.
Yes, but I wasn't Catholic when I was in high school. Actually,
is that right?
I've been a convert, or I've been Catholic for 5 years this past Easter.
So what was it like for you as a non-Catholic attending this this Catholic all-boys high school?
It was a really good high school. I did not particularly care for going to a Catholic high school because my church was, our mission was to convert Catholics away from there.
So you were sort of an infiltrator.
Yes. I guess I was like a spy or something. I don't know. But I love St. Lawrence High School, and I don't think I would be Catholic without it. And so I really think our Catholic schools are the biggest evangelizers that
we
have.
Before we get to this new ministry, tell us, how did God sort of ambush you and make this Catholicism suddenly attractive to the point that you wanted to become a Catholic?
Well, it really was the brothers and the lay teachers at St. Lawrence High School. I had never encountered a Catholic that could articulate their faith growing up, and I was Baptist, and so we constantly talked about our faith and were very comfortable doing so. And at St. Lawrence was where I first encountered a biblical basis for the Catholic faith, kind of learning that the Catholic faith does come from the Bible, and really learning the history of Christianity, which isn't necessarily taught in Protestant churches that often. And so after Pope John Paul died, that his death was actually kind of the big spark where I prayed that if God wanted me to become Catholic, he would show me a sign. And he literally showed me a sign. The next day after that prayer, a sign was put up outside of St. Denis Church that said, if you want to become Catholic, call this number. So I did.
Give me a sign.
Yes.
God took you
very
literally.
Be careful what you ask for.
That's
so.
Right. Praise God. Well, we should all be a little bit convicted by what you said, that you never met a Catholic who could really articulate his or her faith too well. That's probably true about many of us, and we don't talk about our faith very often. We could learn a lot from our Protestant brothers and sisters in that regard, to not be afraid to let the faith show.
Right, right.
Amen. All right, well, tell us a little bit about this new ministry. It's called Peter and Paul Ministries. What's this all about?
Well, it's something that started me and a friend of mine, Ashley, who I have to say is not a female. It's a boy named Ashley.
Thank you, because I was confused. I was looking for a girl.
He works for the Office for Mission Education and Animation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We had started out the parish. We go to St. Thomas More Parish, and the website at the parish wasn't the greatest. And so we begged our pastor, Father Finelli, if he would allow us to kind of take on the website. And that's really how it started. We started with the website at St. Thomas More, and then I also started a Bible study at St. John de La Salle on the south side of Chicago, and Ashley would help out with that. And we about 6 months ago decided to incorporate as a nonprofit, where we go two by two and we offer Bible studies, we do parish websites, we do retreats. We just recently had a retreat for St. Agatha, the eighth graders at St. Agatha Academy. We have, I think, three or four websites under our belt right now, and we just started as young adults, wanting to provide ministerial services to Catholic institutions at a very, very, very low cost, you know, because not everybody, every parish can afford to fly somebody in to do a retreat or afford some of these big name people.
You know, that's a great point, because while many parishes have wonderful websites, mm-hmm. you know, many different pages, and you can yeah. click on different things and find out everything you ever wanted to know about the parish, other parishes simply have the standard
yes.
single archdiocesan provided page that gives the name of the parish, yes. the name of the staff, and a phone number.
Right.
And that's about it. So if you're at one of those parishes, you might want to give Devin a call.
Yes, and we are we're probably 30% of what some of these other places.
Because you're not for profit.
Right, and a lot of the money, we want to start offering scholarships to high school students at Catholic schools and youth groups and things like that.
All right, well, we want to hear a whole lot more about that, and we will right after these brief messages. So we're going to take a pause, and we'll be right back. Please don't go away.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. Graziano Marcheschi, 9:42 a.m. on this Monday morning. Still warm. Hope you folks are surviving this heat wave. I understand it's going to get cooler by Friday. So hang in there. Good news is on the way. But we've also got some good news today. Good news of a new ministry within the Archdiocese called the Peter and Paul Ministry. Devin Jones and his buddy Ashley Collins, Ashley, who is a guy, not a girl, have begun this new ministry, doing all kinds of things. We're going to talk more with Devin about that, but I want to know about the name that you chose. Who's Peter and who's Paul?
I would be Paul because I grew up, like I said, anti-Catholic.
Because you're a good Protestant. You were a good Protestant.
Yes, I was a very good Protestant, and I was very good at pulling people out of the Catholic Church, and hopefully I could be better at bringing people
back. You know, you're going to have to be a really good Catholic, because otherwise you're going to have a lot of years in purgatory.
I know.
Pulling all those Catholics out of the church.
So
you got to bring in two for every one you pull out. All right, is that a deal?
I think that's a good idea.
All right.
Why is
Ashley Peter?
I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I'll say it anyway.
All right.
You know, Peter was known to make some kind of foolish statements sometimes.
Like he was.
He denied Jesus three times. And so,
foot in the mouth
yes,
disease.
And so,
yes.
That's what Ashley has, foot in the mouth disease. No, he doesn't make foolish statements, but he his personality more coincides with Peter, and mine, my conversion story and everything is more like Paul.
Well, you know, traditionally, Peter and Paul have sort of been Protestants identify more with Paul.
Right.
Charismatic.
Yes.
You know, kind of free-flowing. Peter has been more identified with Roman Catholicism.
Yes.
Because of the structure, the authority, the
right.
First Pope. But luckily, at Vatican II, the Catholic Church sort of reclaimed St. Paul.
Yes.
And
yes.
We became more evangelistic.
Right.
After Vatican II. And so now, you know, and remarkably, you know, June 29th, I believe, is the Feast of Peter and Paul.
Yes.
Because we really, there are the two fonts,
mm-hmm.
you know, that helped get the church started in the name of Jesus. So we need both of those pillars.
We
can't
do.
Just
yes.
stand on Peter. We have to stand on Paul as well. And you can't just stand on Paul. You need
exactly.
the structure. You need the institution
yes.
to
yes.
Sustain the effort and the ministry. Well, you mentioned designing websites and other
mm-hmm.
things. How did this interest and this skill in that kind of work, that's kind of specialized, that's
yeah.
technical work.
Yes.
Do both of you do that?
Ashley does the websites more so than I do. We call that side e-ministry, so we also film commercials for parishes and do different things like that. I do more of the faith formation stuff, so like Bible studies and retreats, and we do both, but one I have more of a specialty in, and the other he has more of a specialty in. And it, like I said, it was kind of something that just popped up. I was working as the youth minister at St. John de La Salle, and I started a Bible. I wanted to start a Bible study, and Father Mike Notek, who was the pastor at the time, was very supportive, and it took off. I started with five adults, and by the end of my time at St. John de La Salle, I had about 27 adults between the two Bible study classes. And as far as the websites, we started with our parish doing it as a volunteer thing. And the pastor gave us just enough to cover the cost of doing the website. And then we incorporated, and now we have East Lake Academy, which is a independent Catholic school in Lake County. Zacchaeus House has showed interest. The Vicariate 5 Ministry Commission, we're building a website for them, and some other places have showed some interest in wanting websites. So
are you doing anything with apps?
We haven't figured out how to make them, but I think that we were trying to make an app for our parish, for St. Thomas More Parish. So when we figure that out, we definitely will market that because, like I said, what we want to do is to we want all our parishes to have nice websites. All of our schools, we want all of them to be evangelical Catholics, and I don't mean evangelical as in the denomination, but you
yeah.
know, just it's all about evangelization, and the biggest way to reach out to young adults and youth is through a website. And so your website cannot be from 2000. It has to be a recent website to reach out.
See, for all of us out there who are of a certain age, you know, some of this terminology may be flying right over our heads. You know, we talk about apps.
Yes.
Short for application. You need a smartphone for that, right?
Yes, or a tablet.
Or a tablet. And they're fun little programs that help you be in touch with certain things. There's applications for Bibles.
Yes.
There's applications for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So you could create something, you know, for your particular parish that would give you like the lecture schedule,
right.
or things
or
of
mass
that nature.
Times and yeah. different. Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. In this day and age, where, you know, like we have Borders bookstores just shut down
right.
all across the country because fewer people are buying paper books.
Right.
They're still buying books.
Right.
But they're reading them on smartphones. They're reading them on tablets. I do most of my reading on my tablet now.
Yeah.
And so the world is changing.
Yes.
And young people like yourself are learning about faith often through the internet.
Yes. That's a big part of my conversion was just Googling stuff about the Catholic Church.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow. So it's important that we have good information out
yes,
there.
Yes.
And that we have sites that look, like you say, up to date.
Right.
And 2000 is way too old, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's so 15 minutes
well,
ago.
Well, I'll tell you how old it is. I was in eighth grade in 2000. So
wow.
you know, the I'm 25 now, so the times have definitely changed. And if you have a website from 2000, you can give us a call or email us, and we definitely will help you with that. Oh, and we do it regardless of ability to pay. We do this service just because we want to advance the Catholic faith. So
can you make my computer run faster?
Ashley can do that.
We'll talk about that after the program. All right, well, we got to go to another break. Boy, that went fast. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Radio. And I'm Graziano Marcheschi, speaking with Devin Jones of Peter and Paul Ministries. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
Time, summer in the city, 9:52 a.m. on this Monday morning. We're in the 80s. Praise God, we're not in the 90s like we were yesterday. It will be cooling off by the end of the week. Hang in there. Keep an eye on your neighbor. Drink lots of water and say your prayers. Talking with a young man here today, Devin Jones, who is a youth minister at St. John de La Salle Parish in Chicago.
Corpus Christi. I used to be at St. John de La Salle. Yes.
Bad information here on my sheet of paper. And you hear him on the radio. How often do you do God's Praises Tell?
Every Tuesday from 9 to 9:30.
Every Tuesday, 9 to 9:30. If you're tuning in, it's the voice of Devin Jones that you're hearing. You got to have me on your show sometime.
I know.
You know, now you're here. You got to bring me over. I can sing.
Really?
Yeah, I can. Not well, but I can sing. You know, nobody's going to pay me for it. But now my son, that's another story. He actually does get paid for singing. You and your friend Ashley Collins, have begun this new ministry. I'm fascinated because you're practically giving it away.
Yeah.
So you're a guy working for the church who could probably use a few extra bucks.
Definitely.
And you're using your extra time to provide a service.
Yes.
Not make a lot of money.
Right.
You're a not-for-profit. And we've talked about the design of websites. Tell us about some of the other services that you offer. You mentioned Bible studies. That's not an easy thing to do. How do you have a background in Scripture and have the confidence to lead people in the study of God's Word?
Well, I don't have like a theology degree in Scripture, but I use one of the first Bible study that I ever did was with a book called The Biblical Basis for the Catholic Faith by John Salza, and we use that as a guide, and then we would also bring other materials, papal encyclicals and different things like that. We would talk about church history using various resources that were put out by the USCCB and stuff like that. So that's what we use for the Bible studies. The Little Rock, I think it's called the Little Rock.
Scripture studies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not used that yet, but I'm planning on getting my hands on it and offering that. So it's not that I, you know, take the Bible and give my interpretation of it. We use things from the church, things that have been approved, because I think it's important that we as Catholics know the Bible and know where to find our faith in the Bible, because especially in the African American community, where most of us are not Catholic and most blacks are evangelical Protestants, Bible based churches, you know, we're really kind of under, I don't want to say attacked, but we are put. We're called to the carpet on our faith and constantly, you know, we're asked, where is that in the Bible? Where's the Mass in the Bible? And I want Catholics to be able to understand where their faith is in relation to the Bible and to have a relationship with it. Jerome, I think it was Saint Jerome who said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Amen.
So I believe that we definitely need to be familiar with the sacred scriptures.
Yeah, that's where the Peter-Paul dichotomy really becomes apparent. Mm-hmm. Protestants have traditionally leaned on Scripture.
Right.
You know, Paul wrote so much of the Scripture. And so if it's not in the Bible, it's not Christian.
And I don't teach that.
Yeah. Whereas Catholicism has stood on both pillars of Peter and Paul.
Yes.
Of course, we've always valued Paul. And of course, we have the letters of Paul as the foundation of much of our faith. But we also understand that God continues to speak to his people. And he speaks through the body, the church.
Yes.
And therefore, Peter, representing the church, representing the magisterium, is equally important.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can read Scripture and completely misunderstand
exactly.
it. And you need the guidance of the community, the collective wisdom of the community to help you understand it rightly.
Right. Exactly.
So that it, you know, for a young guy like you, who's only 25,
yes.
didn't grow up Catholic, you've got an awful lot of wisdom.
Thank you.
You understand Catholicism very well.
Thank you.
God bless you for that.
We do retreats, too. I was going to ask you that.
Tell us about the kind of retreats that you do.
Whatever type of retreat a parish wants. Like for St. Agatha, which the pastor Father, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name right now. I just had it, but he was the pastor who confirmed me at St. Denis, and he asked us to put on a retreat for his graduating eighth graders, and so we did a retreat on the supreme commandment, love of God and love of others, and so we just did a retreat based off first love God, then how the love of God flows into loving others, and how that love flows into loving yourself, and they loved the retreat. We thought we weren't doing a good job, but the pastor said that's the most that they had ever interacted in a retreat. So it was good to hear that. So we do adult retreats for adults. We have not done any yet, but if a parish needed us to do one, we would definitely be there. I'm more familiar with youth ministry type of retreat, so I can do that. I am in the process of doing an altar server retreat for Corpus Christi, where I am now. So
if someone wanted to get a hold of Peter and Paul Ministries, how would they do that?
They could email info at Peter and Paul Ministries, and is spelled out A-N-D, and ministries is plural. It's info at peterandpaulministries.com. They could go to the website, peterandpaulministries.com, or they could call 773-787-6535.
So if people want to see how good you are at designing websites, would your website be a good example?
Yes. Yes. And they can get to the other websites that we've designed from there. So, yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. I want to thank you, Devin, for the good work that you're doing at your parish and for this new effort that you're doing within the Archdiocese.
Thank you.
We want to thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock, and most of all, we want to thank you for listening. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Keep cool. Have a wonderful and blessed week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.